Hi, this is Molly Poggles. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of our daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4squared.com, lg, the number 4, square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks, and enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Barners Project. And I'm Candace Smith. And today on the show, we have Enneagram 6s. Super excited for you to hear this interview. You know, the Enneagram helps intentionally work to stand in our transformed identity in Christ. Instead of being at odds with God's word, the Enneagram propels us to heed scripture and be connected to its author. And today we'll hear from two courageous individuals who are learning to stand in their transformed identity in Christ. Type 6s are driven to seek support and security from their community. They are awake and on alert. They have a propensity to experience angst, knowing that they need to make decisions, but not having a basis by which to know if their decision is the right one or not. They seek direction as much as possible to combat this feeling of angst. As they rest in God, trust in God's place for them in the world, they get a sense of devotion and service. God's grace gives them more capacity to live with angst. And then he miraculously swaps it for the courage to be more of who he has designed them to be. You know, a really great scripture for many Enneagram 6s is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. I love these two 6s and I'm honored to listen to their story, and I hope you are too. Here are Garrett Smith and Katie Titus. Welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace Smith, and on today's episode, we have Enneagram 6s, and we're super excited to have them in the podcast studio with today. And in the studio with me is Aaron Watts, my buddy Aaron.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And we have Garrett Smith all the way from Canada. Say hello, Garrett.
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy. And then also Enneagram 6, Katie Titus.
Hello.
Hello.
Yay.
We are so excited to have you guys in the podcast today. I love sixes. Aaron and I have been chit-chatting about our sixes that we know and love. And
yes,
we're super excited that you guys are willing to do this with us today.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for willing to do this. But first, we're going to talk about the type six. And here's some words. And I'm just going to read this. And then you guys let me know if there's a phrase or a word that kind of sticks out to you that really does describe how you process. Okay, so the type six is a loyalist, a skeptic, a guardian, a trusted integrator. Type sixes are aware, faithful, and dependable, hardworking, responsible, reliable, and trustworthy. They learned from a young age to keep their eyes open to potential threats as a way never to get caught off guard. They walk around with eyes wide open to what is present and what could be present in the future or hidden between the lines of what is being shared. Sixes are prepared, community-oriented, reliable, engaging, and likely some of the most courageous people you know. In life, they hold awareness for what we all need to remain safe and secure, and they take the necessary action to ensure that we're all taken care of. They operate in integrity of what will truly benefit the group. Sixes see both sides to everything. Advantage, this helps them to relate to others. Disadvantage, this causes indecision. They can struggle with trusting their own instincts and operating system. They may seek feedback on their decisions from several close friends before committing to one. It takes time to earn the trust of a type six. However, once something or someone passes the initial phase of questioning, the type six is fully on board. You will have a loyal friend or teammate for life, someone who will get in the trenches with you to make it all come to life. To be in the life of a type six is a special and cherished thing that we shouldn't take for granted. When a six forgets how loved they are in Christ, they believe they are alone and need to scan the horizon for danger. The gospel comes in for a six when they are reminded that they are Christ's beloved child and that he cares immensely for them. The faithfulness of God can unlock courage in a six as they walk in the everlasting security and love of their Father. So what do you guys think about that? Were there any phrases, any thoughts that you had about that section? Garrett?
I just think loyalists, that's kind of what we're known as a lot of times. I know in my own personal experience, it's especially when it talks about that first like questioning time, that's kind of like a, I don't know how to say, I'm trying to figure out who you are as a person and then see if that's good or not, I guess.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Katie, can you relate to that?
Yeah. When I am like questioning people, it's more just to know who they are and about them so that I can find ways to like build a relationship with them. It's not necessarily like if someone's like on my list or not, you know, but it's mostly like, oh, okay. Like I want to know how they jive so that I can jive with them.
I've noticed that you do that a lot. Like when you're trying to get to know people and asking questions, like some people might feel interrogated, but you're doing it to like get to know them, to love them well, like, and to get along. I don't know. It's something that I see you do a lot. Was it's a good thing.
Yeah. Was there something on the list that you saw, Katie?
Well, I was looking at that they can struggle with trusting their own instincts and operating system. So they ask for feedback from their friends. And I mean, I have one of my dearest friends here on the podcast with me.
Oh, nice.
Me.
And I can't tell you how many times I've like sent her a pair of shoes that I'm like, hey, are these cool or not? And I send that out to like 10 people at a time. And it's not that I necessarily need the affirmation from people, but that's just how I process, is by talking it out and asking other people so that then I can, I don't know, then make my own decision.
Got it.
Like
Got
even it. If they all hate it and I still love it, at least I was able to talk it out and be like, okay, I do love them.
Garrett, you're shaking your head. Yes. What do you have? You have thoughts about that?
Oh yeah. That's definitely how I operate. Like I usually have a handful of people that I trust without question. That's usually who I bounce ideas off of. And then that helps me, like you were saying, it helps me process either the question that I'm thinking of or just how to move forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything else in that section that kind of stood out to you guys? Katie has something. Katie?
Whatever it was where Christ beloved, that they are reminded that they are Christ's beloved child.
Yeah.
That's funny because my tattoo that I got is, it actually says the Lord's child. And so,
Or
child of God, however you want to pronounce.
It's in Korean, right?
And it's in Korean in my mom's handwriting.
Oh, so, that's beautiful.
Because I wanted that as a reminder anytime that I'm walking through whatever, just, you know, that truth of I am a child of God. I'm free from these things.
That's so cool. Garrett, you had thoughts?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned a tattoo because I've been thinking for a long time about getting a tattoo with a similar mindset behind that. The summary of it would be just that for me, it's kind of like it looks like a compass, basically. And the north would be pointed towards whoever I'm shaking my hand or whoever I'm embracing. And it's that I've been pointed towards this person for a specific reason. The south would be an anchor. And so I'm anchored in God and God's word. And then east and west would be the nails. And that's how much I'm supposed to love them as much as Jesus loved me on the cross.
That's good, Garrett.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
Also, side note, everyone, Garrett's my son.
Yeah.
I don't think but I'm like, I'm so for that tattoo. Get it. That sounds amazing. So let's talk about the wings for a little bit. I'm going to read the type wings and you kind of tell me which wing you think you kind of tend towards. We can have both wings. Garrett's smiling right now because he's already like, I solidly know where I'm at. So let's read the type six wing five, which is sometimes called the guardian. They tend to be intellectual, hardworking, and cautious in their behavior. They are independent, but are very loyal to those they support. They solve problems practically and efficiently. They can focus on specifics and details. They work well independently and have a passion for pursuing knowledge. That's the guardian. And then a type six wing seven is called the confidant. They tend to be engaging, hardworking, and personable in their behavior. They are much more sociable than other six types and love to make new friends. They love being around people and seek support and assurance from others and value reliability and trust in relationships. They will dedicate themselves to a cause, care deeply for others, and honor promises and commitments. So, you two, which one, let's ask Garrett. Garrett, which one are you more likely to be using?
100% the Guardian.
Correct.
I'm definitely a six wing five.
Do you feel like you ever use that wing seven?
I do on occasion. Mm-hmm. Usually I use it more so when I'm in a social atmosphere or when I am with my friends, definitely.
Sure. Yeah.
But my default is a six wing mm-hmm. 5%.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Okay, Katie.
So I'm kind of in between, uh-huh. mostly because I guess it depends on my comfortability on like who I'm around. Mm-hmm. And where I'm at, emotionally is not the word I'm looking for, but like if I'm super tired or if I've mm-hmm. like don't have energy. A lot of stresses on. Yeah. But I would say most of the time I'm the Guardian, which is six wing five, mm-hmm. which works really well because my husband is a type five wing six.
Yeah. So, he was on our podcast last week. You guys listened to him last week. That was Gus. Yeah.
Yeah. Go Gus. Anyway. But when I'm around my friends and I think I really push more towards a seven or six wing seven, the confidant when I'm with the people that I feel comfortable around.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But majority of the time mm-hmm. I like to kind of stay towards a five.
Got it. Garrett's shaking his head going, yep. That feels you similar to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, we are going to go into the questions. Aaron's going to ask you guys some questions. Let's see how they
go. Yes. All right. So my first question for you guys is what led you to the Enneagram? Garrett, do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
Well, as everybody, as you all know now, my mother is Candace. she has a plethora of quizzes that she would go to on any given day. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was just a regular day. You know,
yep. It's a Tuesday. Here's a personality test, everyone.
Yeah, here, take this test. I want to see what you are. And so that's kind of how I got introduced to Enneagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Katie?
So my sister-in-law, when she was in college, she was taking a class where she was doing all these different types of personality tests. And so every other week, we would just get a new one. And for a long time, she was on like the 16 personalities one uh-huh. For yeah. a long Briggs. Time. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, maybe a year later, she sends us this one. She's like, okay, this one's better. I need to know. And she had everybody take it. And so it wasn't weird or new mm-hmm. or anything. We're like, okay, like it's something that Becca wants. And then mm-hmm. she started sending me things on Instagram and I just fell in love with it.
Good.
Okay. What's funny is we were here last week talking and Mike and Gus, you know, were speaking and Mike's like, cause Candace, that's why I'm on, you know, yeah. that's why I did the Enneagram.
Yeah.
And then Gus's answer was also like Becca, which is his sister and you know, but then he's like, yeah, she has this whole spreadsheet and it wasn't even for school. She just wanted to know. Yeah.
shout out to Becca. Cause apparently she and I need to be friends.
Yeah. She's cool.
Throwing that out there.
It was so funny. She was visiting us last weekend mm-hmm. and Gus goes, okay, Becca, I need your help. Cause I'm podcasting. Yes. And he went through every question and everyone was because of Becca.
Okay. I love that.
That's good.
All right. So the next question I have for you is how did you discover your number? And I'd love to hear not just how, but like what that process was like mm-hmm. for you.
So I took the test and like it was 100%. I was a six. Okay. And so there wasn't really a whole lot of wiggle. Like it was pretty obvious. Like I joke around. My mom knows this. I used to have like pocket folds of Legos wherever I went so I could just have something to do. And it was kind of like that prep, like just in case I had some extra time, I could, you know, play around with Legos or stuff like that.
Thinking through scenarios. Was
always prepared.
Yeah. Always prepared.
Always prepared. I love tools
and gear.
Yeah, that's so good.
Always thinking ahead. I think as a little guy, you were always thinking ahead of what you might need in order to be prepared for that moment. And as a little kid, that was Legos all the time and random crap in his pockets, which was super fun to wash.
I mean, it comes in handy when
that's
I'm like,
awesome.
it comes in handy when I'm camping too, because then I'm thinking, oh, what do I need? I usually make a list and then all that. Yeah, so that's partially why I like camping so much, is I can do a lot of prep work for everything that I think I want to do. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Katie?
Same here. Took the test, and then I was like, oh my goodness, how is this so me? And I just, every new sentence, I was like, what? So it's not just me. It's like, there's actually a reason I'm this way.
Wow. I love that for both of you. It was just so, obvious, especially being a type six, that sometimes like indecision is, you know, you're just like, all these options exist and I want to make sure I'm picking the right one. So I need to like thoroughly understand, but you're just both like, yes, that's me. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I've said often and it needs to be said here, is that I'm like, if I'm ever in an emergency situation somewhere where I'm like, I'm choking on something or like I get like stung, you know, and my throat is swollen up, I'm like, I want Katie to be there to do the like thorarectomy or whatever, like cut my throat open and like with a pen and be like, you can breathe now. I've watched Grey's Anatomy. Like, I got like you. She would save my life for sure.
I believe Garrett that is the same in his friend group as well. He's that person.
Yes.
He calls himself the dad of the group.
I love that.
I mean, I did watch my
just kind of everybody's uncle. You know, I just kind of take care of everybody.
And, yeah.
And it just works out.
That's so good. Okay. So this is a fun one. Do you have a favorite meme about your number?
I got this one. It's a picture of Wesley from Princess Bride.
Okay.
It's when he's leaning up against the wall. And it reads something like this. An Enneagram 6 meeting someone for the first time. And underneath it says, who are you? Are we enemies?
Oh my gosh.
100%. Every time I meet somebody new, it's like, what's going on here? Like, who are you?
That's so good. Who are you? Are we enemies? Like, that's the first thing.
That's so good.
Katie?
I do not, but I think Becca or Aaron does.
I do. I always send her memes.
She does.
Okay, well, I have one, and so I'll read it. I came prepared. I got a little sex in me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so it says, it's just like a tweet, and it says, this is sixes, and it's like, if you're not in my circle of trust, you're probably in my triangle of suspicion or my rhombus of doubt. That's just so funny.
It's so good.
There is something about you.
Yeah, like you're categorized somewhere. If it's not good, it's not good. Okay. What do you love about being your number?
I think I love, I was talking to, I think it was a seven. I think there are seven. I was talking to seven one day, and like, I love being around people who have ideas because I'm the type of person that will get that accomplished. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
Cause like, I think when I did the internship here at the church, I worked a lot with Cam, and Cam's a seven and you know, Cam has a lot of ideas. And I think we said something like, sevens are always up for everything, and then sixes are ready for anything.
Got it. Ooh, that's good, Garrett. I love that. What about you, Katie?
I like the preparedness. Mm-hmm. I really do, because it gives me, I don't know what the word is, but like when I'm around people and they want to go do all these things, I'm like, but wait, what about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. We should think about that. Mm-hmm. It gives me like fulfillment.
That's good.
That, you know, that I'm like, okay, hold on. I would love to do that too, but let's think about this first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are many times I'm doing something and Katie's like, well, what about this? Like, how are you going to do that? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't think about that yet. I'm just doing it. Like, I want to say something that I love about sixes. I'm answering the question too.
Okay.
Something that I've noticed, is that there tends to be like a caricature about sixes, that they're very anxious and like fearful people, but we all have fear. We all can be anxious. So it's not just sixes that feel anxiety, but something that like sixes are always looking at, just like the possibility of what can happen, you know, for a sense of self-preservation or pleasure, or like make it like safety and stuff like that. But sixes are brave. Mm-hmm. Like type sixes are brave. They're actually not fearful, because being brave doesn't mean you're not scared. It means you're scared, but you do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And I think sixes like live in that place a lot. And that's really admirable because it's different to just like not feel fear at all, or be like more reckless, you know, or whatever. Not that that's bad, but to have, you know, some sense of fear and awareness of like, this is what could happen here, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I'm going to do the best I can to like make that happen. That's really brave. And that's courageous, which is like a strength of a type six.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. I see that completely in sixes. I do love too that you guys have a strong sense of community. You love community. You think about the group. You're not always thinking about individual. You're thinking about how you interact with the group and how you can support that group. And oftentimes it is like, okay, here's the scenario that's playing out in my head, just to keep the group safe. And I think that's such a gift that you give the world as a six.
So good.
Yeah. I love that about sixes. Yeah. Next question.
Yeah. So what's an assumption that people make about your number that drives you crazy?
I think we kind of brushed on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, like I know when I'm in leadership, for example, a lot of times I'll be in meetings and I'll kind of play devil's advocate and try to, as you were talking about, looking at all the different possibilities. And sometimes that comes across as maybe not faithful enough, or perhaps sometimes people can take it a little personally and view it as like I'm attacking them. And, you know, it's all with a good grain of salt as well, but it's interesting trying to play that out and how, and be like, when I do that, or when I, you know, look at all the different possibilities, it's not that I'm trying to completely wreck your idea of what you're thinking about. It's just that I want to help you cultivate that and look at stuff that you may have not quite seen
yet. Got it. Good. Mm-hmm. That's good, Garrett. What about you, Katie? Mm-hmm.
For me, it's like people think that we're like boring because
what?
Really? Because we don't really like to go out and do a lot of the adventurous type things unless we have already like assessed that it's worth our time and we're not going to be trapped in something.
Like interesting.
At least for me. I don't know about you, Garrett.
So people told you that like you're bored, like, or is that things you see on the internet? Like, where do you see that?
It's more of like a vibe thing. Like we don't get invited to certain things because people think that we won't want to do it because we like, again, have talked about, oh, well, what if this could happen, or like weigh the pros and cons of it. And then I decide that there's more cons than there are pros. So I don't want to partake in that. And so then I feel like we get put into like they're a play it safe. They're a boring type of category.
Interesting.
Garrett, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. There's definitely that kind of, especially when you said that we kind of get played off as safe or perhaps maybe reserved. Because I know, I mean, I assess the risk sometimes and be like, yeah, I don't want to do that. That's kind of dumb. And sometimes that kind of gets the better of us in some cases. And sometimes I miss out on events because of that.
Same.
Jeez. I've said this before. Sixes are the people that put the guardrails up in this world, but we need those people because otherwise there's no guardrails on stuff and your car, you know, goes off the side of the road. So it's like, that's important.
That is important. What is an area you want to grow in as a six?
Ooh.
Katie's face right now. She's like, grimace.
Give her some time.
Garrett's moaning over here going, oh,
that's a hard one. Oh man. I think especially where I'm at right now in my life as a young adult, being able to rely on God and be okay with that. To look at my financial insecurity and be like, okay, I'm not financially insecure or secure right now, but I'm going to put the faith in God to say, okay, I may not have it now, but I will in the future. Or that's really, I mean, fundamentally it kind of comes down to that fear factor that we deal with a lot and how we handle that.
That's good, Garrett. Sense. Yeah. Mm. Yep.
Katie, you want a minute?
An area I want to grow in. Well, there's lots of areas that I could grow in.
I know, right?
A couple things. Okay. How about I just talk about things I've been working on?
Yes.
Let's do that.
Okay. Some things that I'm working on is anytime that I am feeling like some things are out of control, which I mean, our world right now, there's a lot of things that are out of my control. Mm-hmm. And especially when, I mean, I'm a teacher, and so everyone knows that education right now, it changes every week.
Yeah, wild out there.
So we don't know. I mean, I don't even know what's happening next week. So with that, it's very unstable. And so that doesn't settle very well with me. Mm-hmm. And just for me to work on, you know what? It's okay, because God's already gone before me. Mm-hmm. He's going to guide me in the next step. And so really just, I guess, putting my trust in him mm-hmm. is something that I've had to do a lot in the season I'm in now, but especially, I mean, within the last 5 years, mm-hmm. just really, okay, my next step is God's step. My next step is God's step.
That's
so
good.
Yeah.
Do you find it difficult, like, coming into teaching, that it was like, okay, I kind of have to be prepared, you know, for all these different options, and then the situation changing a lot? Like, have you hit a point where you're like, this is the best I've got? Or do you have like plan B, plan C, like all this stuff?
I feel like I'm pretty practiced and like rolling with it at this point.
That's good.
So, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, how's it going? You know, is it just so crazy? And my response lately has just been, yeah, I mean, tomorrow might be different, but we're going to go with it. So
that's good.
That's good.
And this kind of like, you're sharing this, but it ties together, and maybe you have more specific, but how has God used the Enneagram to change you, transform you?
I think it's helped me figure out what my strengths and weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. I mean, like with any personality type, you or with any personality test and across the board, none of it's going to be completely perfect, but mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of aspects that's going to speak to your own life. And so for me, it was like identifying the strengths that I have and identifying the weaknesses and figuring out how can I play to my strengths and how can I also understand my own weaknesses and how can I anticipate that.
Hmm. That's good. What are your thoughts, Katie?
Self-awareness, really.
Self-awareness. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Just identifying that, oh, this is something that I am. And these are the things I struggle with. And this is how I cannot struggle with them as much.
That's so good.
It's good.
Just like on point. Okay. So we love you and we love who you are as sixes. So this isn't in a question. This isn't a question that to be like, be different. But if you could choose to be another type for a day, which number would you choose, and share with us why?
I would for sure be a seven.
You would be a seven.
I feel like they don't worry about anything. They just go and they do. And it's just like, and I do not do that. So I think it would be really neat.
I love that.
I mean, that's my good. Friends who are sevens, they've gone skydiving. Like, heck no, I'm never going to do that.
You'll need to tune in to the Enneagram 7 podcast, because yes. I guarantee you Pastor Cameron is going to tell you that he absolutely worries about things. But as a seven, yes.
Yeah, it seems like they have fun.
They do have fun.
Go for it.
They're very adventurous. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. What about you, that's Garrett? Awesome.
Funny, Katie, because I think I would go with a seven as well for the exact same reason. Because like you sevens, you guys just have a lot of fun all the time, and it's great. Like I kind of envy that a little bit, but
like they're a little more carefree, you know, like easygoing. Whereas I'm like,
you're like, I wish I could do that, but here are all these things that could happen. Like I can't not think about what could possibly go wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Makes sense. We like sevens. They're good.
Yes.
Okay. What has been bringing you life during this COVID season?
I think for me, it's been community. Being able to come back to Canada and then re-engage with all my friends. We were kind of talking about this just with the leadership here, but I felt like a lot of us were just kind of ripped out of what we were doing mm-hmm. and had to go home because of COVID. And so, especially right now, it's been really healing for me to be back in community and to be back not only in the community, but also helping orchestrate that. Like I'm an RA this year. Mm. So I get to minister to everybody on dorms. And I get to kind of foster that community. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's good.
Great.
I would agree with the community aspect. especially in the sense that when you're connecting with the people in your close community, it's really meaningful right now because mm-hmm. everyone's checking in and is like, how are you doing? And like, oh, I'm fine. It's like, no, but really, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And so just, I feel like relationships, especially within my close circle, have deepened even more in this time because people are kind of realizing like, hey, stuff's crazy, but
yeah,
sticking to our solids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that's what really matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Katie, so I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I ask someone like, how are you doing? It's not like that surface level conversation. Mm-hmm. It's very much the, like, how are you doing? And what's going on in your life?
Yes. Like I almost get annoyed when people give me just like a blanket answer.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
That's good.
I think that's something I love about having you as a friend is that you won't let me like give a surface level. And I typically don't just cause I trust you, but like, I know you're actually wanting to hear that. You're not just like, oh, how's it going? Like being nice. You're like, I want to know what's happening in your life.
Yeah.
And you will shoot me straight, which is something important to me. Cause I don't want just someone to be like,
I know, right?
Oh, that's nice. Like, and you're wanting to problem solve, you know, what's going on for me also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that means a lot mm-hmm. as a friend.
Yeah, sixes are very much straight shooters, especially if you're inside that friend group.
Mm-hmm.
I will call you out for stuff. But yeah. I will also yes. love the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good.
It's kind of funny because a lot of times people are like, I just love how honest and real you are. I'm like, oh, I don't think I have a filter. So
that's good.
That's great. Is there a specific scripture that the Holy Spirit is using right now to speak to your heart just in this season of your life? Garrett, you had one.
I did. I'm going to be speaking for the people on dorms pretty soon. And this is just something that God's kind of laid on my heart a little bit. And it's Acts 2, 1 through 4. And I'll read the verse and then I'll kind of explain why a little bit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So I became kind of enamored with this particular scripture because I was actually looking in the Old Testament about the Tower of Babel. And how you have all these people gathering in one place, and then out of their own ideas and out of their own knowledge, they built the brick. And that's how you have this Tower of Babel going up to God. And effectively, the idea behind the Tower of Babel is that they're getting higher and higher up in order to be like God, in order to be on the same level as God. And I love how actually, Pentecost redeems what happens after the Tower of Babel because it's then destroyed. And then you see God dispersing everybody. And now you have the different tongues, the different languages spread out. And then as Pentecost actually redeems all that and saying, hey, yeah, you guys are all different. You don't always maybe have the same viewpoint, but your common ground will always be the Holy Spirit. Will always be abiding in him and that. And so I think that's really important, especially for what's going on around us today, especially in America.
Right.
Because we have all these different views. We have all mm-hmm. these different ideas going around. And I think as Christians, we really have to abide in the Holy Spirit and we really have to lean on him because that is our common ground. At that point in time, you know, instead of building a tower, you have now they're building the church. Now, the rest of Acts is talking about how they're building the church. Mm-hmm. And just the same with us, we are called to build the church and love those in it and outside of it. You know, there wasn't a Republican or a Democrat party. There wasn't like a Jew or a Gentile. There wasn't a slave. Or not a slave, there was just one people.
That's good. Preach. What about you, Katie?
So for me, there isn't really one in particular that speaks to my heart right now, but it's mostly what speaks to my heart all the time.
It's good.
So, I mean, a couple of them did come to mind as I was thinking back, you know, on times when I felt my most like when I'm really, really just in a place where I am like, Lord, just show me the way because I am so stuck right now and I need you. Mm-hmm. And one of them was spoken to me like probably at this point 6 years ago. And forgive me because I don't know exactly where they are.
You're all right. All right.
But perfect love casts out all fear.
Yes.
That one speaks to me on the daily. Mm-hmm. And then focus your mind on things above and not on earthly things.
Yeah, that's good.
Those two, especially, I mean, especially now in this weird stage we're in the world. Mm. But anytime that I just need to like refocus or regroup or when I'm feeling times of uncertainty, which, you know, sometimes happen multiple times a day. I always just cling to those truths, you know? And I've mentioned it before earlier, but you know, he like something that really helps me stay grounded and helps me just go throughout daily life is that he has gone before me and he loves me so much that everything is for my good. And so I have to speak that to myself a lot. Mm-hmm. I have a gratitude journal. It's a planner.
Oh, that's good.
Every morning it asks for requests for the morning, either for myself or for others. And then every morning it's a healthy mom and dad, you know, and then it's, you know, a good day with students, you know, and then it always says something along the lines of, like help me to remind me that you are here with me in every step. And so those are like my dailies. And then when other things are coming up, obviously I put some other things in there, but those are my pretty,
that's so practical solids. And good. That's really good. Last question is not on your sheet. So, as listeners are listening in, some of them are thinking maybe I'm a six. What would you encourage a six to hear? What would you say to a six?
Things work out real. Yo,
things work out.
And trusting the Lord is not as hard as we make it out to be in our minds, because we can get wrapped up in our minds a lot and think about, oh, well, what about this? And what about that? And it's like, dude, it's just so easy. Just trust in God. He loves you. He's already met you there.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
That's good. What about you, Garrett?
I think no amount of worrying is going to change what's going to happen.
That's good.
Release it. That's so good.
I like
that's really good.
I might edit that just a little bit by saying, you know, there's certainly for a six, there's a certain amount of like a healthy amount of preparation or letting something sit and stew for a little while and think about the possibilities. But there's also this, if you let it sit too long, you will start to worry and you'll start to be discouraged because of that. So I guess for me, especially, it's finding that balance of not worrying, but also being able to think things through in a healthy way.
That's good.
I like that because it's like you're recognizing your gifts that you have, like as the people you are, the way you're wired to be able to be proper, like have preparation, be prepared, all these things for the benefit of others. And you're recognizing how you like all of our strengths, like they're gifts God gives us and we can use them, you know, for his glory or not. And, that's just a beautiful statement.
That is good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Enneagram Sixes, for being on the podcast today. I hope you had fun. How'd it go, Katie? Are you good?
It all worked out.
It all worked out, baby. That's your next t-shirt we give you. Okay. Well, thanks for being on the Barnabas Project. We love you. And tune in next week as we have some sevens that will be
bringing in the party.
Bringing in the party. It'll be something. I don't know if I can keep the sevens in control. We'll see.
Can't wait.
Thanks for tuning in. We love you and God bless. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.